I thank you for your attendance this morning. It is good when we have visitors. It's good when we have our members here. We know that there are some of our members that aren't able to be with us today, and we hope that they have a safe journey. Those that are traveling, those who are ill, we hope that they are better very shortly, and our prayers will be with them. Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, where we'll see a passage that we will be using, or a phrase that we'll be using, as we talk about the subject of our sermon today. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Contrary to popular belief, ignorance is not bliss. I've heard that all my life. Ignorance is bliss. I often wondered about that. But when we look into the Bible, we find out that it's not. When we look into the Bible, we see that what we don't know can still hurt us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13 reads, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but it was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as other Gentiles." We need to understand that oftentimes Paul had a desire to go place, to do something, to preach and teach. But he was, according to this, let hitherto, or doors of opportunity were opened unto him in some places where they were closed in others. But he would not have them ignorant of that, because he wanted them to know that he cared for them, that he wanted to be with them, that he wanted to have them bear fruit even as others did. But we do need to be aware of what we don't know can hurt us. For instance, as you turn to Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, you'll find out that, and that should be Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, by the way, Israel was destroyed for lack of knowledge. They were ignorant of knowledge. The word tells us there, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Now let me ask you, when it comes to the Israelites and their lack of knowledge or their ignorance of knowledge, did it hurt them? Of course. They were rejected by God because they rejected knowledge. They had forgotten the law of God, and therefore their children were forgotten by God. Israel remained unsaved, according to Romans chapter 10 and verses 1 through 4, because of ignorance. Now, we might say, as we contemplate Romans chapter 10 verses 1 through 4, that the Israelites had zeal. But notice what kind of zeal it was. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." In other words, what these people were doing, they remained ignorant of the love of Christ, the blood of Christ, the sacrifice that was made on their behalf so that they might be truly, spiritually, the children of God. And they remained ignorant. And so we see that what we don't know or what we are ignorant of can hurt us. I want to look at six times in the Word of God which Paul specifically said that he did not want the brethren to be ignorant. The first of which is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. He did not want us to be ignorant of the fact that there is a need to preach the gospel. Before I read the passage, let me point out that not just the person standing in the pulpit is responsible for preaching and teaching the gospel. Every Christian is responsible for spreading the Word of God. The Great Commission applies to all of us. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, and oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul did not want them ignorant because he was willing to go. He was willing to give of himself. He felt a strong obligation, as we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where he said, I'm not ashamed. But also in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, he shows them why this is such an obligation. He was going to show them that if he served someone besides God, he becomes a servant to them. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And that which he proclaimed to them, the gospel of Christ, was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, not just to the Jews, but also to the Greeks. That's why he felt compelled to do this. He knew the gospel's power. Again, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the power, or I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. There are those that seem to think, as those in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 is pointed out to them. There are those that think preaching is foolishness. But preaching is the way that God has decided that his word would be spread. He told them, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, we see, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What did they believe? They believed those things that were preached. They believed those things that were taught. And those things which were taught needed to be the right things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, we see Paul, under inspiration, writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he tells him words which every preacher should heed. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preachers today need to take heed to this. Preach the word. Oftentimes when I'm asked, what are you going to preach? I'll say the word. Or I'll say about 30 minutes. But the truth of the matter is, whenever someone gets up to preach the gospel, it should be the word of God. Instant, in season, out of season. When it's convenient to preach the truth, preach the truth. It's easy then. When it's not convenient to preach the truth, preach the truth. That's what Paul was telling Timothy, and that's what we ought to heed. But while it is being preached, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it needs to not only be preached in truth, and it not only needs to be preached boldly, but it needs to be preached kindly. In other words, we have to have love. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There are many, many preachers today who need to speak boldly. And all preachers need to speak in love, kindly, putting forth that which God has given us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us this, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him and all things which is head, even Christ. We must pronounce or put forth the truth, but we've got to do it in love. In fact, if you stop and think about it, the reason that we have this truth is because of love. The reason that we have the church is because of love. The reason we have opportunity today to gather here in this place to worship God is because of love. He set all this up for us. And so, Paul did not want them, nor does he want us, to be ignorant of the need to preach the gospel. Paul, in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and following, speaks about the salvation of Israel. He says, therefore, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Notice in this passage that it says blindness in part has happened to Israel. Just after that it says, and so all Israel should be saved, or shall be saved. In between those two portions there, it says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Understand that all who are obedient unto God today, according to what the Bible puts forth relative to salvation, become Israel. All Israel. Not just the Jews, but all can participate in this. Doesn't it not say all Israel will be saved? What it does not say is that all Israel will be saved unconditionally. In other words, just because they desire it, just because they think it, just because they feel it, it doesn't mean that they will be saved that way. It means after this manner. They must obey the gospel, just as we must obey the gospel. According to Romans chapter 11 and verse 23, they'll see that they are to be grafted in if they continue not in unbelief. You see, that's what happened to some of the Israelites, some of the Jews, some of those who were Jews in the flesh, who could not see beyond Christ, could not see the fulfilling of the law of Moses. It says there, and they also, if they abide not in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. They were once the children of God. He had a covenant with Israel. That covenant was fulfilled, taken away. Then there's a new covenant, and they must abide by the guidelines of that covenant. The third point. The Apostle Paul did not want the brethren there in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, to be ignorant of the danger of apostasy. You know, there are folks today that don't seem to think that they can be lost. There are folks today that don't seem to think that danger lurks around every corner. We worry sometimes about our young people. They take off and they do things. They go to countries they've never been to before. They just go and walk and look and do things. They go to places they've never been before, cities they've never been before. They don't realize the danger, but it's out there. The same thing is true of God's people. They are unaware of the apostasy that can exist. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Friends, we need to understand that anything that could happen to us now has already happened. It's happened to other people. But God has provided for us. There is danger of apostasy. Notice the examples. They were overthrown in the wilderness. They lusted after evil things. They were idolaters. They were fornicators. They tempted Christ. We need to be careful. We also could apostatize. We need to make sure that we are true in attitude and in practice. As we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we find out that there are those who have apostatized. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." There are folks who want their ears tickled. They want to hear pleasant things. Just preach about love. Well, I'm preaching about love this morning. The love of God. And how that there are warnings within the Word of God that we might not stray. We must exhort one another daily to avoid these practices that would cause us to become apostate. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we see one of these particular passages. We see one of these passages which is designed to help us so that we might not stumble, so that we might not fall. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We all need encouragement, but we need it daily. And we need it from our brethren. And if all of us are helping each other, we might all remain stronger. We need to be aware of the danger of apostasy. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 also desired that they be not ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. There are those today that are ignorant relative to spiritual gifts. They don't understand that there was a time for these things. There was a purpose for these things. And that time and purpose has been fulfilled. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, three chapters are dedicated toward making sure that they are not ignorant. I'm not going to read all three chapters, but please do so in your leisure. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. In chapter 12, you will see the enumeration or the naming of these spiritual gifts. What was available to them? Chapter 13 tells us the duration of these things. "When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away." And chapter 14 deals with the regulation of these spiritual gifts. We need to understand that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have what we need. We do not need these spiritual gifts today. We have spiritual blessings, and they abound. We need not be ignorant of that. We needn't also, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, be ignorant of the hardships of Christianity. You know, before Christianity existed, there were those who heard the sayings of Jesus and decided they would not walk anymore with Him. They would no longer follow Him. I think it was described this morning in our class as the Great Exodus. It was an exodus. People turned away. They went and no longer followed the Lord. Even to the point after that, His disciples were murmuring about something. He said, "Will you also go away?" Why? Because following the Lord is not easy. There are those who would like you to think that if you follow the Lord, everything's going to be perfect. It's going to be sunshine and rainbows. Well, wake up. The Lord causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. There will be pain and suffering. Even as a Christian, you will have hardships. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we were despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." The Apostle Paul found him in a situation in which he was afraid that he was going to die. And so what did he do? He got him a booth and he sat down and he started making tents because it's too hard to be a Christian. No, that's not what he did at all. He moved on knowing the power of God. He moved on helping others, encouraging folks, preaching and teaching, even to the point of being thrown into prison, to being stoned, to being beaten. All of these things. And we're going to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, about the types of hardships that he had to endure. And we think it's hard today. Friends, we got it easy. But they might not like me if I preach the truth. That's all right. God likes you. He loves you. And if you preach the truth, he will reward you. And I will guarantee you this. You're still going to have hardships even if you don't preach the truth. Let's see what Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Like I said before, we've got it made. But notice, if you will, Paul's attitude under hardship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, he told us how we should react, how we should feel regarding these hardships. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Friends, why do you think that those disciples, very soon after the church was established and they were cast into prison, what did they do? They rejoiced. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Today we fold our tent and go home. Many people do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he speaks about this affliction, about the hardships of Christianity. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Friends, it's not over when we die. Oh, the pain is, the suffering is, the hardships are. But we can die so that we have that hope. And those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. But notice what he said about those shipwrecks and being beaten and stoned and all of these things that occurred to him for our light affliction. Again, we've got it made. And finally, Paul would not have us ignorant of the hope of Christianity. Notice I did not say the hope of religion. Religion is not bad. There are many fine, upstanding, moral people because they're involved in religion. But I said the hope of Christianity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. He writes to these brethren and he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Who are asleep? Those who have died. Those who are no longer in their physical bodies. They still exist. Their soul still exists. He says that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, oftentimes when someone has passed from this life to that which is beyond, people are comforted by saying, you know, they're in heaven. I know as a little boy, I was about 10 when my grandfather passed away. My aunts and uncles and my dad were real quick to tell me, Granddaddy's looking down on you. Well, I would find out many years later that wasn't the case. Now, I'm not saying what happened to Granddad, what kind of life he lived, or anything like that. I'm just saying, even were he the most upstanding Christian that the world has ever seen, he wouldn't be up in heaven looking down on me. Number one, the dead know nothing under the sun. Number two, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And according to this, when they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, the Lord comes back. That's when all of the departed saints will be together. But notice what he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What words? That those who are in Christ have hope. Those are the words. And they should be a comfort. According to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, we see that we are to be comforted in such a thing. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Following their death, there will be a general resurrection and a judgment. According to John chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus told them, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, we pointed out six things this morning that Paul had pointed out to the various congregations, those folks to whom he was directed to write by the Holy Spirit. And those things began with, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. We need to not be ignorant today. How do we avoid ignorance? Study. What we don't know can hurt us. It will hurt us. But we need to study to avoid ignorance. And we need then to apply what we know to our lives. What is it that we know? Well, we know for a fact that God sent his Son to die upon Calvary's cross, to purchase the church, to provide the sacrifice that was needed to redeem mankind. We also know that he has offered to us the opportunity to be his children. But we can only accept the salvation in Christ in the way in which it was offered. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How is that? By doing the things that we are to do in accordance to God's word so that we might be his children. Those things which he has directed in his word. How is that? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we find out that we are to hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we see this is logical. We're not going to believe something unless we've heard it or it's been told to us or we've read it. But that which we are to believe is that which is coming from the word of God. We are to also believe in John 8:24. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And so the first thing we are to do is hear, and then we are to believe. Well, what after that? According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we are to repent. Those people, when made to understand that they had taken and crucified the Son of God, were pricked in the heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer they got was directed by the Holy Spirit. Peter said unto them, as he was directed by the Spirit, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Understand what they were to receive, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of eternal life. But they had to repent first. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, we see that they also had to confess. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice what we're going to, unto salvation. And then they are to be baptized. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Friends, we need to understand that all of these steps must be fulfilled, carried out in your life, in order to be a child of God, in order to not be ignorant as to what God would have you do relative to your own soul's salvation. But then, we must remain faithful until death. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see that we are to do this. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away or to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps today you have not done these things. You've not heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized. If that's the case, then you're not in Christ. You no longer have the excuse of being ignorant of that, because now you know. Perhaps also you have done these things. You've become a child of God, but you've not remained faithful. Don't despair. There is a way for you also. Our Lord has provided in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 that we understand those who are His children, who have stumbled and fallen, those who have separated themselves from God by sin, are able to reestablish that relationship through repentance and prayer. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. This morning, I want to ask you, do you want to remain ignorant? Paul didn't want you to be ignorant. The Apostle Paul wrote these things as he was guided by the Spirit, so the Spirit didn't want us to be ignorant. The Spirit provided these things for Paul and the others because God gave it to them, and so God doesn't want us to be ignorant. And so why should we be ignorant? If you need to obey the gospel, please do so, as together we stand and sing the invitation song.